Well, how about that? Andrew Booth gets benched in the second half, and A.O., that's what I'm going to call him, Brian.
A.O.
Just going to go with A.O.
A.O., that's what his teammates call him, A.O.
Perfect. Brad did an excellent job with pronouncing that last name. I don't think I could do as well. Zach Wolchuk alongside the Super Bowl-winning scout, Brian Broaddus, 20-15. Cowboys get the road win over the Giants, brought to you by Pepsi, made for Cowboys watching. It is a big sigh of relief. They escape the Meadowlands with a victory. A lot to find out when it comes to some big injuries in this one as well. Of course, Micah Parsons gets carted off at the end. But the second half, the offense was humming in that first half. Dak Prescott was brilliant. CeeDee Lamb had a heck of a game. And then the Giants went on some long drives, kept the offense on the sideline, and they didn't really seem to find that rhythm. In fact, in the second half, CD just one catch for 4 yards and a couple of field goals was really all the Cowboys were able to muster up.
Yeah, the first half, you mentioned it, if you could protect the front, as we said in the pregame show, and really leading up all the few days we had before this game, then you can make some plays on the secondary. And Dak Prescott found CeeDee Lamb quite a bit. He found Ferguson quite a bit. They couldn't get Cooks going in this game like I thought they might. Flock gave up some stuff late, but overall, though, you have to be pleased with I'll tell you what, it was really a gutsy performance with all the injuries that they were dealing with. The injuries were starting to pile up. Guys were having to, you know, step in and play really some big roles in that game. And, you know, I tell you, the drive right there at the end that where Dallas was able to get points off the field goal, it was long enough to allow Diggs to go in and get the IV. That was key right there. If you want to talk about a drive that they needed points and able to get their star corner back out on the field, that was exactly what happened there. So, you know, I think we're going to look back on it and some of the things we're going to go, why this or why that? But, man, it's not a style-pointing thing in the NFL. You got to find ways to win games, and they were able to do that tonight.
Absolutely. You know, you'll take a win, especially in division, 13 straight games that Dak Prescott has defeated the New York Giants. Very, very impressive. 877-881-1053, the number to call, the number to text. Of course, we'll hear from our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, Brad Sham. We'll hear from Dak and Mike McCarthy as well. Penalties huge in this one. 11 penalties for 89 yards for the Cowboys, just 4 for 35. Feels like there was about 100 that were called tonight in this game that really stalled drives. Guyton called for a couple of holds. Tolbert was called for a couple of penalties early on. One thing I was surprised about, Brian, never really gave Guyton some help over there on the
left
side.
It wasn't as terrible as that time we saw that Chaz Green in Atlanta, but you just had a feeling that, you know, and maybe they had to help, you know, maybe when we watch the tape tomorrow, they really probably had to help BB, and they felt like that maybe Guyton would be able to hold up on the outside, but man, it's a struggle. I mean, these edge rushers are for real. I mean, he is yet to catch one that, you know, is not outstanding. I know in Baltimore, Oway and some guys like that. But, man, I mean, they're going to have to kind of figure something out. They got 10 days to kind of figure out because, you know, Pittsburgh is not going to afford you the ability to.
No, they've got two good edge rushers, Highsmith and, of course, T.J. Watt.
Yeah, you've got to kind of figure that out. And we'll see how that all plays out when we get to that game. But yeah, it's asking a lot for the kid. And you know, he's every time he goes out there, he does fight. It's just not pretty how it turned out, and the holding calls were unfortunate too as well. But I will say this, and I know Bobby, you and I were Bobby was watching the game with us here,
right?
And the 3rd and 1 play, the holding call that he got. Mike McCarthy's got to help him there.
Just run the football. Yeah.
Just simply run the football, you know, and then get the first down and then keep the clock going, you know, give your defense some rest, but don't put your left tackle in some bad spots on a 3rd and 1 play where, you know, he might have to hold up. So that's just me personally. I want to see the best for the kid, but I think Mike could have helped him just on that one play call. Just run the ball. You know, with Rico Dowdle had some productive runs, Hunter Lipke with some productive runs, you know, even Zeke had a run or two that was pretty productive as well. So, you know, just kind of help your team right there, you know, wear the Giants down. The Giants were kind of wearing you down with all the plays that they ran there in the first half. So, you know, but hats off to the kid. You know, he battled all game. It's not pretty. But, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll figure some things out as we go forward.
Yeah, the Giants with some drives, 15 plays, 11 plays,
yeah.
10 plays. Yeah. I mean, they definitely had the defense out there, and you could see it. I mean, Tank leaves with a foot injury.
Yeah.
He got it taped up, thought maybe he would come back. He didn't come back. Mikey gets carted off. You had Maris Leifau get hurt at one point. I mean, it certainly a lot will be thought of about what's going on with the Cowboys and how healthy they are. Luckily, they've got kind of a mini bye week here, 10 days leading into the game against Pittsburgh. But yeah, the run defense, much improved. I mean, Devin Singletary and the Giants running game had been solid coming into tonight. 14 carries, 24 yards, only 26 total yards rushing for the New York Giants tonight as the Cowboys run defense much better. And Mazi Smith was really good.
Yeah.
Was really good tonight.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's your guy, John Michael Smith at center.
I know.
He was kind of taking advantage
of
him.
He was eating John Michael Smith for lunch.
I'm looking forward to seeing Mazi on tape. And, you know, in the thing with the Tank injury, you know, Tank has struggled with foot injuries before, ankle, foot. Geez, I hope this isn't one of those midfoot.
And didn't he have that Liz Frank? That's why he had Micah end up starting and end against the Chargers a couple of years ago.
They were taping his foot up, but like it wasn't an ankle. It was taping the bottom of that foot, and I just kind of worry about that a little bit.
Yeah, the lack of a pass rush was very alarming. I mean, I do think, personally, I think Daniel Jones helped you get this victory tonight. He was underthrowing a lot of footballs. The accuracy was poor. If you have better quarterback play, we might be talking about a different story.
I'll tell you, how about Brian Daboll kicking a field goal on the 3-yard line?
You think both coaches with a couple, Mike with some third down calls, you're like, what was going on there? But Daboll, a little cowardly at times, kicking field goals instead of going for it.
Yeah, his defense was in a little bit of some trouble there. You know, Dak did a nice job of, you know, manipulating the pocket, moving around a little bit, making some really good throws. CD was outstanding, you know, after last week. It was nice to see him get going. And then, you know, with Ferguson, the way that he was able to play, you know, again, tip of the cap to, you know, the defense. I mean, they have been much maligned the last couple of weeks. And, yeah, it's the Giants. Yeah, they've got quality players. I mean, the running back, they held him in check completely today.
I did.
Neighbors, that's something you're going to deal with for a long time, you know, that guy.
Woo!
And so just be ready for that one.
Yeah, Malik Neighbors, 12 for 115 on 15 targets, and he's got a concussion. He left the game early, and that is the report right now as to what the injury was with him. 20-15, Cowboys getting the win over the Giants, 877-881-1053. The number to call, the number to text as we welcome in our buddy Bobby Belt, who's going to be hanging out with us here tonight in the official postgame show of your Dallas Cowboys. And Bobby, I mean, you were listening to what we were talking about there, but Rico and the Cowboys running game was certainly a little bit better tonight. I think you saw some improvement there, but the Cowboys run defense, which had been much maligned through 3 weeks, really the last two, came to play tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the run fits were much, much better this week than they have been. The defensive line looked really assignment sound. The linebackers looked like they were seeing things quickly, that they were getting to their spots. They were, you know, really decisive and really precise and getting to where they needed to be. And so that was a big part of this, is just that ability to just be what Micah had talked about the last couple of weeks, that they just needed to do their jobs.
Yeah.
And I felt like tonight, everybody for the most part did their jobs. You still don't feel great. I think if when we watch this back, you're not going to feel great about a lot of the tackling.
No.
Whether it be in the run game or in some of the stuff where it's thrown out into the flat or just an open space. There was some bad tackling today. Trayvon Diggs was not great tackling today. There were just some issues.
Kendrick's missing a couple. I mean, still leads Kendrick's, the team, but Eric Kendrick's missing a couple.
Yeah,
Kendrick's had 13 tackles, and it felt like he could probably had a couple of more there. The fourth down miss by Wilson could have given Dallas the ball right there at midfield.
Wilson, you know? And then Leifau,
yeah,
there to clean it up, took an awful angle and just did not make the play. But to that end, again, they were strong, solid. You know, everybody was pretty much on their P's and Q's in terms of being in position. And DeMarvian Overshown playing the game he did tonight after what was a really bad game for him last week.
Yeah.
I thought the way he came out and just the intensity and clearly the, you know, type of aggression that he came out with, and he was very emotional throughout this game. I thought he was really, really good. Showed a lot better finish, a lot better form in wrapping these guys up. And so to me, this run game tonight, for me, first viewing before we go back and look at it on tape, this is about Mozzie Smith and DeMarvian Overshown in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think Overshown was cleaning up a lot of plays out there. I mean, it's amazing when your defensive tackles play a little bit better, allows your linebackers then to run free. I was quite impressed with the offensive line again and how they were able to run block. I mean, Dowdle, a solid performance, 11 carries, 46 yards, averaging over 4 a carry again.
Yeah, some tough runs too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as a team, just 80 yards, only 23 carries. It seemed as though in the second half, and I wonder how much the layoff between Giants' long drives, and you had about an hour after the CD touchdown drive between when the Cowboys' offense had to come back on the field. It seemed like it kind of killed the momentum that they had. But the second half, again, I think one talking point we'll have is the offense just did not seem quite in a sync, and CeeDee Lamb continues to disappear. I know our buddy Nick Harris with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, he had a note of the 4 games for CeeDee in the second half. 1 catch against Cleveland for 3 yards, nothing against the Saints, 1 catch for 9 yards last week against Baltimore, and tonight just 1 for 4 yards. And that was really the key in the first half, was 4-88. Find a way to get CeeDee the football. They handed it to him a couple of times, which I'm kind of getting sick and tired of seeing, this little jet sweep deal. I don't think it's fooling anybody anymore. But CeeDee, the slow second halves, that's something they got to figure out moving forward.
Yeah, and I can't wait to get a look at the tape and see the route combinations they were running early, which it looked like a different offense jump starting today. I mean, the first series, the 3-and-out was not good. But right after that, the couple of drives they had, the 2 touchdown drives there, it looked like a different offense than what we've seen out there the last couple weeks. Not just in execution, but in the way they were choosing to attack the defense. And so when they came back out in the second half, and it was a lot of, you know, just to the sticks and turn around and come back, or just, you know, stuff in the flat. And I don't know if it's an issue of they got in there at halftime and they felt like, let's just not screw anything up. Like, we feel like we can beat this team if we don't turn the ball over. Let's just, you know, keep holding them to field goals and not turn the ball over. If we do that, we'll beat them. Like I wonder if that was kind of the thought process, because it looked like a much more reserved, let's just pick up profits type of offense instead of doing things to actively challenge the Giants. And so I think that's part of what was going on there with CD's involvement in the second half. But yeah, absolutely, these disappearing acts are a little odd.
I also don't know that they really have a full understanding of how to get the most out of Brandon Cook's skill set, right? His one big play is a crosser over the middle that he almost scores on for 16 yards, 1 catch for 16 yards.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like Brandon Cook's, this is what we want you to do. Just run a bunch of comebacks. And that's not, I think that's been proven, you're really minimizing his potential with that type of play calling and route tree. I mean, we talked about this, it feels like, the majority of last season as well. And then the second half for a few weeks, it seemed to get figured out. But again, where the hell was Brandon Cooks tonight at times? I mean, you get the win 20-15, but I think a win like this against a team that is not very good in the New York Giants still doesn't make you feel great about where this football team is.
No, it really, you know, like I say, the win. I mean, I picked the Giants to win this game, you know, I feel like that Dallas would have some struggles with the running game there. They obviously, we talked about Neighbors a bunch, and you know, they made some odd decisions. You know, Daniel Jones kind of helping you there at the end, some of the underthrows that he had in that game. You know, this might have been a little bit different. I mean, Wando Robinson dropping that ball too, you know, on right before the fourth down there. I mean, the one underneath there. Boy, that could have been a huge play. And so, you know, they help you a little bit. Yeah. But, you know, I felt like, though, with all the injuries that they dealt with in this game, their, you know, their star players just, you know, out of the game at various points in time. You know, it was everything you had to do just to get the win. So I look at this as a positive that way. But yeah, they've got to be more consistent, you know, and I think the play caller's got to help them a little bit, you know, with some of the stuff that they're trying to do. And you guys mentioned the jet sweeps and stuff like that. It's, you know, there's things I know that he'll go and watch and he'll get better at, I hope, you know, to try and kind of help his team finish these games a little bit stronger. It's kind of sad to see Aubrey miss that field goal. You know, that's something that you kind of
man. Yeah, it might have been somebody that jinxed him
wow.
In this room.
Well,
Bobby Belt.
Bobby.
Thanks a lot, yeah, Bobby.
Bobby, but
Some would say jinx. Others would say, you know, psychic.
It's crazy. It's crazy that he can make field goals from 60, and then all of a sudden you line up for a 51, and you're like, man, okay, we're going to get these three.
I know.
And then you miss it.
You can just start a new streak. It's okay.
But you gave him a chance. You know, you gave him a chance to run some plays, but you were up to the task there at the end.
All right, Bobby, we'll continue the conversation with you. We'll also get to the phones, 877-881-1053, 972, texting in. Zach, you sound a little sickly. I am. Been battling some sickness, so I'm sorry if I sound terrible. I usually probably do anyway. I just sound a little bit worse tonight. But you're not here for me. You're here for Brian. You're here for Brad. You're here for Bobby, Dak, Mike McCarthy, so much more in the postgame show to get to. Cowboys get the win. They're 2-2. You're listening to the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. He sure is unbelievable. And Brandon Aubrey with that 60-yard field goal, just the fourth kicker in NFL history with three made field goals of at least 60 yards in his career, joining Brett Maher, who made four 60-yard field goals, Greg the Leg, and Matt Prater. He's also just the second player in NFL history to make multiple field goals from 60-plus in the same season. Only other kicker to do so, 2019, Brett Maher with the Dallas Cowboys.
Brett Maher, yeah.
Pretty impressive, and Bones Fossil certainly a part of both of those. I did also see, according to the 33rd team, Cooper Beebe allowing no pressures for the second time in his first four games. He did, of course, have a holding call that wasn't great, and he did have his hands full with Dexter Lawrence. I'm sure when we go back and watch the film, we'll see some good and bad from Cooper Beebe, but I'm liking what we're seeing through four games.
Yeah, I was, and I was going through just looking at some next-gen stuff, and I think they held Brian Burns off the pressure chart today.
That's impressive.
Yeah, just going back to it, this is comes from Next Gen Stats. This is what I get from the NFL that goes to the actual team. Brian Burns did not generate a single pressure on 25 pass rushes in week four, his first career game without a pressure with at least 10-plus pass rushes. So, and then he'd matched up against Terrence Steele, 17 of his 25 pass rushes. And then Steele has now allowed one or fewer pressures to six of the seven defenders he has faced on at least 10 pass rush snaps this season.
Wow.
So there you go.
Wow. D-Law in the locker room saying he's in pain, but he's going to be fine. Micah, according to our buddy John Machota, limping around the locker room, he's definitely in pain. But he did tell Dak Prescott that I'll be good. So maybe when we talk with Brad, who he knows down there, he can give us some more insight, but there might be some more coming.
Yeah, I reached out to some folks I'll probably hear when they get on the bus. I'm sure there'll be MRIs involved for everybody tomorrow, and maybe we'll have a little bit better understanding then. But we'll see right now what we're dealing with. My guess is, do you feel it's an ankle injury with Micah?
Yeah, that's what he seemed to say. It was an ankle, but
yeah.
We'll see moving forward. At least, luckily, he's got an extra couple of days.
But, yeah,
we haven't seen Micah really have to go through like a serious injury. Like, he's played through a lot of injuries, I'm sure, but yep. Something like that to maybe force him miss some time. There he is, CeeDee Lamb, after a 20-15 Cowboys win over the Giants here on the postgame show. Brought to you by Aristocrat. You just cheered for America's team on the field. Now see them on the reels. Cowboys themed casino games developed by Aristocrat. Now at a casino near you. Aristocrat, a proud sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. If you have a gambling problem, please contact 1-800-GAMBLER for 21 and over. Zach Wilczek alongside the Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus. We got Bobby Belt hanging out with us as well. Let's hit the phones. We got our buddy Big Jim in Round Rock. What's going on, Jim? How you doing?
Well, fellas, let me tell you something. It's a whole heck of a lot better feeling than last week. Although, I tell you, it felt kind of like a big old sloppy, warm, wet kiss from your sister for a little while. But, you know, y'all remember I kind of got hacked off last week and had some, you know, strong words. But, man, I got to take it off mind. We got Zimmer. Kind of put it together. They got the run fits all worked out. So I'm generally pleased. Obviously, it wasn't a stellar performance. These penalties have got to stop. There's just some stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank you, Brian. Thank you for getting me prepared this week. I watched it every night with you and Votch, and I really appreciate you getting me. Thank you for getting me prepared, Zach. I really appreciate all your hard work. And Bobby, I want to tell you something. Despite what that feller said a couple of weeks ago about you ruining the morning show, I'm going to tell you something. You have raised the collective IQ of that show tremendously. So you do a fine job, son, and I love listening to you, and you always bring something, and you represent the homeschooled kids quite well. So keep it up.
There we go. Thank you. I appreciate it, Jim.
We appreciate that.
I was actually born in Round Rock.
There you go,
Zach. Okay. If you didn't know that, so I think that's our tie. I think that's our brotherhood coming through.
Have quite the connection. That was an interesting comparison to the game there from our guy Big Jim. But yeah. I mean, hey, that one could land. All right, let's go to our buddy Charlie in New Mexico. Charlie, what's going on, man?
Hey guys, look, I'll take a win over the Vision Foe any day on the road. But I'll be honest with you, I don't feel a whole lot better about this football team than I did last week. I just don't. It seems like to me Mike McCarthy gets in the second half, especially if we got any kind of lead. He just turns off the gas. I mean, he's got a play sheet that looks like War and Peace in front of him, but he runs the same 8 to 10 plays every freaking game for 60 minutes. I don't understand what's going on with this guy. And if they don't get Micah some help rushing the passer, he's not going to make it through the year, guys. He's just not. And that one play where he got hurt, why wasn't that a holding call? They actually tackled him.
Yeah, on with Guyton, I appreciate the call, Charlie. I had a couple people reach out as well. Like, what do you think about some of these holding calls on Guyton?
He's asking about Micah. He's asking about
the Micah one. Yeah, well, Micah, we can talk about every game. I know Tyler Guyton came off the field and was yelling at a camera about the refs. He was not very happy, but. Yeah, Micah, I agree with that one from Charlie. Now, he did get finally a holding call in the fourth quarter that went against him, but I do think that's a topic probably every week we could be talking about.
Mike Garofalo, by the way, tweeted a few minutes ago, Micah Parsons spent some time icing his ankle on the Cowboys training table after the game, limping a bit, but no indications here in the locker room he suffered a significant injury.
That's good. That's good.
That's good.
That's great news right there.
Hopefully everything will be okay there. The thing with McCarthy... That's, man, another slow start, too. You know, another slow start of the game, you know, with the three and out and the way that went. And I know, Bobby, you and I have kind of gone round and round about that, trying to kind of figure out that first 15. You know, then they kind of got into a little bit of rhythm. I think he didn't particularly help them. I mentioned the third down call that probably just run the ball, keep the clock moving, you know, just try and keep the chains moving. But I don't know. I mean, I would say that my man has his menu thing, that play sheet looks like the Cheesecake Factory menu more than anything, you kind of wonder about the plays, but I don't ask you guys this. Do you think he's calling the plays again because of having the rookie left tackle, that he's fearful that if he calls too many of this or too many of that, he's putting him in harm's way with some of his play calls?
No.
Look, I mean,
and here I was complaining about the third and one call because I thought you could have helped him and just run the ball, get the first, and then keep going from that point.
Well, here's why I would say no. And Bobby, correct me if you don't agree, but I think we saw a lot of this last year in the first 5 weeks of the season. I mean, we talked to Brad about it too. You had Tyron Smith. That wasn't a rookie left tackle last year. Yeah. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I personally think Mike McCarthy's offense is outdated and he's no longer a good play caller.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be part of it. There's a lot of responsibility here, too, on Dak checking them into the right stuff and Dak getting the looks he wants. I think definitely McCarthy could have some trepidation about not just one, but two offensive linemen that are rookies right now, a blindside protector and the guy making the checks.
Yeah.
That's about the two most.
You give the left tackle no help throughout the game.
Sure,
right?
And that's true. And that's true. And that kills any kind of argument that I have. I wonder with the way that he does call plays, you know, and why is it that CeeDee Lamb in the second halves of games is just not a factor?
Look, I think things evolved over the course of the offseason and when they went through the draft process, things were different. But I will say that I think once it became clear to them Tyron Smith wasn't coming back, I think when you talk to people around the team, Mike McCarthy's initial inclination when talking about team building was, I'd rather not have a rookie left tackle next year.
Yeah.
And so I know that was not his preference initially. I think it evolved when he saw Guyton and got to see that, and now he's at a point where he's comfortable with him. But I do think that he entered the offseason with that definitely being something in his mind that he didn't want.
This is going to sound just crazy, but my guy Vach Lombardi and I were talking about this one night on our podcast, that do you think that they would put Chuma Adoga in there at left tackle? Or would you? Would you even consider putting Chuma Adoga in there at left tackle? To me personally, I think my guy, I hate to say this, I mean, because I think the kid's the future, but I think I keep riding with him.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah,
I agree, because I think...
But, I mean, you might have to think about Adoga.
If you get in a game not like this one, which is the... What was our buddy's name tonight, the referee?
Clay Martin.
Clay Martin, okay, where it's the Clay Martin show featuring the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. Get out of a game like this. If we see, like, three holding calls and sacks given up in other games from Tyler Guyton, like, this becomes an issue, you're starting to talk about, okay, you're overwhelmed. But I will say, we talked about this week, Brian, the game against Baltimore, as bad as that was, you saw growth from Tyler Guyton in terms of communicating with Tyler Smith and picking up some of the twists and the stunts. Yes. So to me, that's a position naturally in a unit that progressively gets better as the year goes on, typically. Mm-hmm. And so do you want to reset that again by putting a new, you know, piece in there? I don't know that you want to do that.
I personally don't want to do it, but the question, that's why I was asking you guys, and I wonder out there if Cowboy Nation, who's listening to this, is like, wow, man, I mean, I'm not talking about putting Awesome Richards out there.
Right. I mean, if you had somebody that was legitimately better, Adoga, I can't forget him costing you a win against the Dolphins a year ago.
Yeah, by not knowing his assignment.
I don't think Chuma Adoga is really... I think he's going to be a liability for you.
That's the thing about it is you wonder if Chuma Adoga is better than...
I'd ride with the rookie. And I can deal with the growing pains with Guyton and Beebe. That's fine with me. I can't deal with losing a game because of Adoga out there.
Here's what I think, though. I think you're right. At this point, you don't make a change. I don't think they would make a change. Had Adoga been healthy, I think Adoga would have started the season. And then at that point, we're having a different conversation.
Well, boom. There it is. That's a secret sauce there for Mozzie Smith, huh? Just get yourself a pregame massage.
I wish I could get in on that deal.
Well, I'm sure after today's gauntlet that you've gone through, we can get you a nice cold tub.
I appreciate it, though. Hey, you know what? And I'm looking forward to seeing. I do hope that Mozzie Smith is, it's nice when he's a plus player.
Yeah, it wasn't just the fact of like he was good. It was, if you want to talk about in the first half, it was he was a force.
Defensive tackles, you're like not really noticing. You were noticing.
No, this was legitimate difference making plays at one technique. And so to me, that is the first time that the one technique has flashed in that kind of, you know, obvious TV copy way that consistently in a while for the Cowboys. Like, I mean, not just Mozzie Smith. I don't even know that I saw Hankins flash like that that consistently. I mean, he would have his moments, and he was always really strong at the point of attack. Sure. He had a good anchor. But I didn't see him just, like, you know, driving into the backfield as consistently as Mozzie did. Mozzie did that on, like, three straight snaps at one point tonight. And maybe that's just says something about John Michael Schmitz, too. But
some people that can evaluate centers and others that can't. You know?
Well, I know Bobby didn't want to draft Cooper Beebe. He wasn't even on his draft board.
I liked Cooper Beebe.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You hated Cooper Beebe. I had to fight you tooth and nail for Cooper Beebe. You were not a fan.
Here you go.
I'll own John Michael Schmitz, though. Tonight, not a good night for him. I still think that guy's going to be a good player.
He's actually pretty good when you watch him play. So Mozzie wearing him out, I think, is
pretty
good.
But he's smaller,
good.
And Mozzie dominating a guy of that size, which he should do.
Well, what was our guy? I always say his name wrong. From the
Kelsey?
The Ravens. Linderbaum?
Oh, Linderbaum, yeah.
Yeah, Linderbaum. He's small. I think him and Linderbaum about the same size. John Michael?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Injury update from the Giants. Jordan Renan said that Brian Burns was doing his post-game media and called over to Malik Nabers in the middle of it and said, "Are you good?" And Malik Nabers went, "No." And then he walked off.
Early report is a concussion, but he was getting beat up
pretty
good.
His face
tonight.
Looked like it got jammed into the turf pretty good on that fourth down play.
Had a big hit on him.
If he doesn't get driven into the ground there on that play, I think he holds onto that ball, and I think that's a massive fourth down catch on the sideline because he got his toes down. He just couldn't hold onto the ball.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, and shout out to my guy Cooper Beebe. No pressures for the second time in four games. Freaking stud right there. That's our guy.
What happened the other two games?
might not have been good. All right, but
I will say
I don't
this,
think we have that, as big concerns right now about Coop as we do.
I will say Tyler. that they double teamed that guy.
They needed to. Okay,
20 of the 25.
Dexter Lawrence, or else Lawrence might have been doing the same thing. In fairness to Cooper,
I totally agree.
They needed to do that. But Tyler Smith, post game, apparently biting his tongue when asked about the penalties against the Cowboys' offensive line, said, "quote I'm not going to say it. Roger Goodell protects those guys like John Gotti." but I'm not going to say it, but then I just did. But they weren't happy. Like, Tyler Guyton wasn't happy. Tyler Smith wasn't happy. I mean, this is probably going to need to be a film study, but the Cowboys offensive line not happy about some of these holding calls.
Did anybody ask him, say, well, what about the 15-yard face mask that the Giants got called for?
That's when it's so hard to, like, was the officiating good? No. But that helped you probably keep a touchdown off the board and ruin a Giants drive by that. That should have been called an overshown that was not and was called on the New York Giants. So, hey, you win some, you lose some.
Clay's crew had a rough day.
They did, but the Cowboys are now undefeated with Clay.
That's why I do a referee report every week.
It is. It's good to listen to.
By the way, did you see they called a 12-man on the field?
You nailed it. They called the Cowboys for a 12-man on the field.
There's some things I'll pat myself on the back for when I tell you about the referees, I'm going to pat myself on the back.
No, you need to, because nobody else in this room is going to give you a pat on the back about anything. You got to pat yourself on the damn back sometimes.
There you go.
877-881-1053. Let's fit in a call here on the official postgame show of your Dallas Cowboys. Let's go to Eric, line 6. Eric in Odessa has been waiting a while. What's going on?
Yes, sir. How you boys doing?
Fantastic.
Doing good, man. This question is really for Brian Broaddus. What grade do you give Michael Parsons tonight? I mean, I feel like whenever he was one-on-one, he wasn't getting through. And I'm just really upset with him right now. But I want to give a couple game balls out right now. And I'm going to give a game ball to Dak Prescott because Dak Prescott makes good throws. Every time everybody wants to down Dak Prescott, but he makes good throws. Whenever he's in the pocket and he steps out, he just makes a throw right there. And Butter Aubrey, man, it's butter. Butter. And that's all I got to say. Appreciate y'all tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. You no grade on Micah?
I get to watch the tape.
We'll have a grade tomorrow.
Three
on the flagship.
340 tomorrow.
G-Magnation.
Yeah, I'm on about seven different platforms before I'm doing that one. But yeah,
that's the one I want you to listen to.
Yeah, the thing about it is, you know, yeah, you can't. The thing with Micah, you know, you wonder how many times he's single block. You wonder how many times he's doubled. You wonder, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things you can kind of get in with Mike. I just kind of felt like with Micah that, to me, when you watch him play, like Andrew Thomas was a guy I felt like that he could kind of break down, and he's had some success against him in the past, and I think Micah might have taken him up the field too much tonight. When you want to beat Andrew Thomas, he can't handle things to the inside. And I think there was one time where Micah did catch him.
It was at the end of the game, that big run stuff.
Yeah, the runs he jumped him in. That's kind of where you have to, that's where you kind of have to get it on him for sure.
877-881-1053, the number to call, the number to text. All right, let's go to Scott in Jersey, line 4. Scott, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, what's going on, guys? Great game tonight. You know, we own them. You know that. With that said, what did we fix tonight? Did we fix the run defense, or did we fix the red zone touchdown? One more thing. You know what? We depend too much on Aubrey. What do you think about that, Broaddus?
I think you probably fixed the red zone offense not at all. I think you might have had, one touchdown in the red zone, the Rico Dowdle screen?
One attempt, one touchdown.
So yeah. I can't really say, like, not a big enough sample size. And the run defense definitely took a step in the right direction tonight.
I kind of felt like that the Giants would try and run the ball, and I thought that Singletary would have some success. And they really did a nice job of kind of bottling all that up.
Yeah, run fits were better.
A lot better. And you mentioned it about Overshown. When he's on, and he makes tackles. And last week he was there, he missed tackles. And it was clear. As a team, they missed a lot of tackles last week. This week I felt like they missed a lot less tackles, but there were still some key ones that I think if I wouldn't say missed tackles this game, would you say 4? 5?
It may have been more than that because I think three of their first 4 conversions that the Giants had on 3rd and 4th down were throws to the outside or runs to the outside where somebody just couldn't make a tackle. Like, they were there and then just missed the tackle. The guy that had a lot of issues tackling tonight was Diggs. Diggs had that happen.
Diggs missed two. Kendricks missed two. I can think of Wilson missing one. Leofau missing two.
So we're talking like 10?
Yeah, there were a lot of tackles.
I mean, in some instances, it was like two missed.
I was trying to pay attention to that. I'd need to mark that down on my sheet.
Hooker, there was one where Hooker came in too, and like there were two different instances where he did that, and he did this at Ohio State for years. He did that throw his shoulder into him.
He
did it twice, and he bounced tackle. Off a Singletary.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, look, I think they are just fundamentally a bad tackling team. That's just what they are right now. Overshown is one of your better ones. I think that's why it was so disappointing last week that he wasn't finishing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was because he is one of the better ones.
I agree, yeah.